NPR.
The stock market. So we don't talk about it a lot on the show, but everybody else has been talking about it.
A lot of other people talk about it.
Everybody's been talking about it.
And they ask us about it.
Because it's been up so much. Going into this week, the S&P 500 was up 27% in the past year. That is today's Planet Money indicator, by the way. 27%. That puts it well over 3,000. Which means that the stock market is now close to its all-time high. Which raises the question, can it really just keep going up and up and up and up? Or must it come down?
And we have no idea.
I wish we knew.
Right? I have no idea.
I wish we knew. Right.
But sadly, there is no single indicator, no one thing you can point to tell you if the stock market is overvalued or undervalued. You've got to look at a bunch of indicators. And sometimes those indicators contradict each other.
And so the question of whether the stock market is overvalued or undervalued could really be answered either way. And here at The Indicator, when confronted with a question that can be answered either way, you know what that means.
Dueling indicators.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, the Mad Money Menace, the Sultan of Stocks, Cardiff Garcia. And in this corner, the Queen of Quant, the Empress of Econ, Stacey Vanek-Smith.
Okay, Stacey and I have randomly picked opposing sides. Let's do this.
I will be arguing that the stock market is overvalued, that it has gone up way too much, it needs to cool its jets, while Cardiff will be taking the incorrect side of the argument, arguing why the stock market is somehow undervalued?
We shall see.
I'm very excited to hear what you came up with for this. So the main part of my argument comes from this one simple indicator called the price-to-earnings ratio, or just the P-E ratio, which is suddenly making me have terrible flashbacks to junior high, but we will keep moving. So there's this whole equation for calculating the P-E ratio. But in a nutshell, it compares a company's stock price to how much money that company is making.
Yeah, and we should give an example for the wonkier times.
Absolutely, yes. So let's take Microsoft for an example. If we look at the total value of all Microsoft stocks, so if you add up all the shares of Microsoft stock and then compare it to the amount of money that Microsoft made in the last year. If you do that, Microsoft stock was worth about 31 times the amount that it earned. So its P-E ratio is 31, which is on the high end for an American company. Most companies' P-E ratio, a little less than that.
And you can also do this exercise, for example, for all the companies in the S&P 500 index, which is what we did. And the point here is that if that P-E ratio for the stock market is higher than it has been throughout history, then it's a sign that the stock market might be overvalued.
Yeah, so right now, as you are saying, Cardiff, the P-E ratio is about 26. That is well above its long-term historical average of 19. That's from the past three decades. Now, you might remember back in the late 90s when the ratio got really high during the dot-com bubble, some people shrugged it off. They're like, no, this is the new economy. This is tech. Don't look at old market indicators. I think we all know how that story ended. The bubble burst. The stock market collapsed. So I say, ignore the high P-E ratio at your own peril. Also, I'm just excited to hear your argument if you have one. If you don't, that's fine. We can just go get some lunch.
Okay, I'll be honest, not a bad argument,
well,
Stacey.
Well, thank you very much.
But it is worth mentioning that this ratio of yours is backwards looking. It is based on how much money companies made last year. Investors would rather know how much money companies are going to make this year and beyond. So I prefer to use the forward-looking P/E ratio, which is based on how much money companies are expected to make in the future. And that number is not as frightening. It's about 19, which is a bit closer to its historical average than your ratio is. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay, right. But I would like to point out that your number is way more speculative than my number. It's based on these predictions about future profits that companies might make. And there are all sorts of reasons why those predictions might be unreliable. Whereas my ratio is based on how much money companies actually are making right now. Facts, Cardiff, facts. Reality versus speculation. And what the facts are telling us is that the stock market is overvalued.
Okay, but are you ready for my counterpunch?
Oh, bring it on.
Too bad, actually, because you got to wait till after the break.
I think you're stalling. But sure, sure. Take all the time you need.
Oh, that had to hurt.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Salesforce, a customer relationship management solution committed to helping you deliver the personalized experiences that customers want. Salesforce, bringing companies and customers together. Visit salesforce.com/learn more. Support for NPR and the following message come from Personal Capital, offering personalized financial planning with registered advisors who put your best interests first. Download the app or start investing at personalcapital.com. Personal Capital. Invest with logic. Plan with heart.
Stacey, are you ready? Are you trembling? You look a little nervous.
Did you have enough time to try to cobble together some reasons why the stock market might be undervalued?
One great reason, and here it is.
Okay. All right. I'm excited to hear this.
My argument for why the stock market is undervalued has to do with interest rates. All right. Right now, interest rates throughout the economy are really low. So, Stacey, for example, let's say that you are an investor with some money that you want to put into something. You want to make money. You're trying to figure out where to invest it. You might say, hey, maybe I'll buy bonds, like government bonds or the bonds of companies. Well, if the interest rate you are going to get paid on those bonds is low, like just not very impressive, then you might go looking for a different place to invest your money. Like you might buy stocks, which are likely to give you a higher return on your investment than bonds are. And when investors do that, the stock market will go up. And there's another reason that low interest rates boost the stock market. Low interest rates mean that companies themselves will pay less interest on the money that they borrow. So they have more money left over, and they can use that extra money to either invest in making their product or hiring better people or just giving the money back to shareholders. And in all these cases, that extra money makes their stocks look more attractive to investors. Consequently, interest rates low, stock market up, and interest rates are low right now.
This is true. But Cardiff, interest rates change. Low interest rates for companies might not last forever. In fact, I can basically guarantee you that they won't. For example, if companies borrow too much money, then at some point, the investors who loaned them said money will get nervous that they're not going to get paid back. And then the companies will have to pay higher interest rates to lure more investors. And in fact, a lot of economists and analysts are worried the companies have already borrowed too much money. Corporate borrowing is at record highs. And also, Cardiff, you have just argued why the stock market might not be overvalued, which is different from saying that the stock market is undervalued. Do you really actually think the stock market right now is undervalued?
Fair point. Here's the argument.
Okay.
After lowering interest rates 3 times last year to stimulate the economy, the Federal Reserve has signaled that it does not plan to withdraw that stimulus anytime soon. That interest rates, in other words, are going to stay low. Not just right now, but low into the future. And as we just discussed, that's good for the stock market. Plus, after so many people worried last year that the U.S. economy or the global economy could fall into a recession, I think you and I were in that category. We were worried about that.
Yeah.
Those fears have kind of faded. And so the combination of the Fed promising not to slow down the economy and keep interest rates low and the global economy outperforming expectations from last year, well, I think those two trends have left U.S. companies in pretty good shape, and the stock market will eventually reflect that.
Okay, compelling. I think you did a really admirable job of arguing a very difficult side of this argument, but very nice job. We will leave it right here.
Yep.
So write us, let us know who you think won the argument. Email indicator@npr.org. Or you can participate in our Twitter poll, which we will post later today. And by the way, that Twitter poll will include an extra option, which is that the stock market is correctly valued.
You yes.
Can definitely argue that.
But one important point to make before we close out here, Stacey, nobody should do anything based on what they hear on a podcast, especially not ours.
Oh, that is
true. We're not giving investment
advice
here.
Don't invest based on what we say.
Exactly. Remember that there is no way to guarantee what the stock market is going to do, just as there is no easy way to know if it is overvalued or undervalued. Also, that I'm right and Stacey's wrong.
Oh,
so two takeaways.
Okay,
really.
We'll just see what the listeners say. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. Our intern and fact checker is Brittany Cronin. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.